Alan,
Grez
here, and welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast, where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are discussing Robot Wars Series 6, Heat Eye.
Aye, we are.
Oh, and again they do that thing where, oh, here is a robot that you see getting stuff dropped on it on the drop zone.
Or falling down the pit.
I wonder if that's in the final or not.
No, you silly goose.
Though, at least one thing. And the worst part is, Craig Charles actually does a decent intro. And goes, oh, let's hype up the current 8 semi-finalists that are in so far.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just surrounded again by spoilers.
Yep. Because that's the thing. It's like, see if you intro it and you're given spoilers, okay, that's one thing. But then you give a second batch of spoilers.
Yeah.
Like, coming up on this episode. And it's like, just use previous fucking footage.
Exactly. Or either that, or you do the sort of thing like you go, you sit there and go, the intro is last week, da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do a hype package. You go, the seed this week is panic attack. And then you show footage of them pitting Cassius. You show maybe some footage from one of the world championships. Mm-hmm. And this year, they've brought a new robot.
Yeah, and then just maybe even have a shot of the robot driving into the arena. So you get like a look at it and go, ooh, interesting.
Anyway, speaking of the brand new panic attack for the first time that we see this particular version, and as far as I'm aware, the last.
Mm-hmm. Yep. From Gwent in Went, Panic Attack.
This isn't Panic Attack, this is Panic Attack 24K.
I know, I kind of wish that they started calling it Panic Attack 24K, like genuinely. But that's just still Panic Attack. See, no matter how many different iterations of Panic Attack there are, it's always just called Panic Attack. Even though, like, on the side of the robot, you can see, like, little numbers and shit added onto it.
I think this is technically classed as Panic Attack 4.
Yeah.
Because Panic Attack 2 was Season 3 and Season 4. Panic Attack 3 was Extreme and Season 5, and then this is, well, Panic Attack 24K.
Yeah, so the 4's in there.
Yeah.
But then they thought, let's paint it gold, it'll be 24K.
Which, yes, because painting mechanical things gold when they're normally yellow works so well. It works so well for Jordan F1 as well.
It looks so gold and not boring and grey.
Yeah, it doesn't really interact well with the lights.
No. Like, I feel like what I need to do is get more photos of it. Like, taken 24K. Just to see how it actually looks. Because, like, yeah, as we're sitting, well, I don't know why I just expected to type Panic Attack 24K and expect a robot to come up and not a whole bunch of medical stuff about what to do if you're having a panic attack.
If you go on images, the top few images are of the gold version of the robot. It looks better in the pits video, I have to say.
Hmm.
Anyway, so this version of Panic Attack is a lot lower to the ground. It is a sleek-looking robot.
It looks like Bioshock.
It looks very Bioshock.
Sorry, Biohazard. Well, we've said that in fucking unison.
Anyway, would you kindly move on?
Yes. From Darlington Rocks.
This robot wishes it was Razor. And as a consequence, it looks like Wish Razor. Is this the same team that made that stupid giant pink robot?
Not stupid giant pink robot. Stupid giant weird dumb box that was like... I think in season two, that's how far back this this name and robot goes. In season two, I think I said that that robot looked like a child threw up Skittles all over it. Like, it was all, like, multicolored and just icky looking.
Well, to put in perspective how well this team's doing, this is the first time they've had a robot that's actually qualified for the main competition since going out in the gauntlet. This is actually the first time this robot has fought in a battle.
Mm-hmm.
Or this team has fought in a battle.
Yeah, maybe the name is cursed.
And also it's so cursed my puppy is getting upset.
Oh, puppy. Hey, puppy.
Anyway.
From the borders in Scotland, Corkscrew.
Now comes in blue. So this is a full spinner robot. One of the few that, because of the way it's designed, you can actually tell which way is the front.
Mm-hmm.
As is now in blue, I'm just going to say this. This is the most impressive robot in the heat.
And we've fondled this bit.
Yes.
Like, for years watching it, I've always wondered what the big tube bit on top of Corkscrew felt like.
Yes.
And then when we got to meet it, a battle at the borough, like, they came in, they put it down, and I just instantly grabbed it and just went, I've always just wondered what that felt like. And then I just got kind of a weird stare from the guy, and it was just like, yeah. And it was like, that's what it is.
Anywho. We'll talk about fondling corkscrews another time. There is one robot left.
From Beer in Devon, Chronic 2.
And once again, this robot is getting closer and closer to looking like Apollo. Mm. It's even got the proper flipper now.
Yeah. Well, not full flipper. It's still like a half flipper in comparison, but it's got the shape now.
Obviously, we say that with the caveat that this particular robot is not the Apollo team.
Mm-hmm.
This is a separate team, and then Team Mad, who never actually entered in the classic heavyweight division. They did have a robot that was going to enter, but had to withdraw it. And Alan Young did fight in the... It's either in the Antweight or the Featherweights, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
During Season 7 and Extreme 2, that kind of era. So, Team Mad is about, but that's not... This is not related to that. The actual Chronic the Hedgehog ends up being bought by Team Mad, and that's where Apollo evolves from.
Oh, it was a wee bit of history.
Yep.
But yeah, you can start seeing it now, like, become Apollo.
Yep.
It's funny to think, like, watching this robot, it's like, you're essentially going to go on to be a future world champion, spoiler, or UK champion.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep, finally, that's our robots. I feel like that was the most long-winded intros we've done in a while.
Yep.
But lots of talking points here.
So... There's no nice way to say this. This version of Panic Attack is shit.
Mm.
This is very much the case of this is a bad robot being well driven.
Yeah. And I mean, it goes to show that even how fucking bad this robot is, it is still well driven, as you say, and... The fact that he can still essentially do the panic attack stick that we always talk about. Goes to show just how good of a driver the Kim Davis is, that even with a crap version of a robot, he can still do pretty damn well.
Yeah.
But all that doesn't really... All that counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, as you say, when panic attack comes in on Chronic, and then, like a bat out of hell, Corkscrew just flies in and just rips an entire side off of Panic Attack.
It rips the side off Panic Attack. So after that point, you can see Panic Attack's like, oh, fuck.
No, dear.
Okay, I am not doing well. Meanwhile, Chronic then it becomes the subject of Corkscrew's ire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets his whole top like ripped open. Well, I don't even know how that happened.
What happens is basically it hits the robot. It hits Chronic so hard that it self writer fires. That's how hard it hit it.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, it actually broke the self writer.
Okay, I just thought like it was a panel that just kind of flopped open. So that's actually what their self writer is.
That's part of their self writer. You basically. Yeah. In case they got caught on their side, they had a self-writer.
Okay.
Corkscrew is flying about and goes, this is easy, I'm going to dominate. What? Why is Chronic driving at the pit button?
Well...
Well, that doesn't matter. That's what... Oh, no. Manages... They actually basically... Chronic hits the pit button and there's this... And as the delay's happening, you just see Corkscrew driving over the wrong bit of floor at just the wrong time.
Because
caught on the lip.
Yeah, it's not that it just drove into the pit. It bounced off Chronic and then fell into the pit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just like really like, see if Corkscrew was on the other side of Chronic, there would have been absolutely no problems here. But it just got caught like at the wrong place at the wrong time, and then just kind of bumped off Chronic, boom, down in the pit, and where it was just like, well, that was heartbreaking. So Rox is still there, and the first line of my notes Rox comes in to nip Chronic.
Don't do Razor like that, come on.
I know. And considering like all the shit that we gave Ming like a couple of weeks ago when we says, oh yeah, they're just trying to be Razor. It's like, I mean, at least, you know, you wanted to try and be Razor, but you still kind of had your own thing.
Yeah.
Like, Rox just goes, let's just do that.
Uh-huh.
And then after all of the damage that Chronic took, it still manages to flip over Rox.
Oh, it's the most impressive. It is massively impressive. And at first, you're like, oh, but it's fine. Rox will be fine. And then it just starts bleeding hydraulic fluid. And I mean, like, properly pouring.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually quite disconcerting to watch.
It's like the most graphic that you could probably ever get from a robot fight.
Mm-hmm. It's up there with, what's it called? That, was it Reptiron in the reboot? The one that red and black version of Monsoon ripped the weapon out of.
Mm. Yeah, funnily enough, we're about to talk about Reptiron in a minute. Yeah, I think, and then... It's just the thing of, like, see, like, watching robots get ripped apart is one thing, but see when, like, hydraulic fluids and all that start leaking, it's like, it almost makes them more sentient, and for some reason that, like, makes me uncomfortable.
But anyway, basically through not being blown up by Chronic, Panic Attack just kind of limps through.
Yeah, so here's the thing, is like the two most damaged robots, like at the end of this fight, are the ones that advance, and the two that look relatively unscathed go out.
Oh yeah, when you actually see the Corkscrew's feeling corkscrewed.
Oh yeah. So they go backstage and then they talk about it. They say, I don't remember seeing anybody hit the pit release button. That went down on its own. I feel like we want a wee bit of justice. And then they showed the clip to them, and then he's like, all right, you know what? I'll eat humble pie here and say we were wrong. And we'll take it on the chin. We'll be back next year. Yep. Simple as that.
Good man.
Yeah. But you couldn't help but feel bad for them. So, fight number two. Oh, Jesus. From Buckinghamshire, A-Kill.
What the fuck is this shit? What the fuck is this thing?
Right, so I'm gonna go make like a 5-course dinner while you list off all the weapons it has, and then I'll probably still have time to come back.
So this robot, I think it actually is the middleweight robot from like 3 seasons ago.
Yeah.
But
and they put more stuff on it to make it a heavyweight.
It's got a lifter,
mm-hmm.
a spinner, and a... They don't even call it a hammer. A thumper. Also, on every edge of this robot, there is, like, metal straws in pointy triangle bits. Shapes so it can't get flipped.
Yep. It's so...
It is the ultimate definition of multiple weapon syndrome. It looks like it's been designed by a 4-year-old.
Yes, that's exactly what I was about to say. This looks like a robot that I would have come up with when watching like this season. Like, oh, it's going to have an axe, and it's going to have lifters, and it's going to have a spinner, and it's going to have a flamethrower, and it's going to have, like, spikes sticking out of every bit, and then when you spin around, the spikes go all woo-woo-woo-woo. Oh, it's just, like, there's too much going on here, man. And, I mean, when I was a kid, I remember I actually drew a robot out of our old Hoover, and... It had about 18 weapons on it, and that was me when I was about 8 to 10 years old.
Anyway, there are 3 more films.
Yeah. From Gloucestershire, Repteron the Second.
What the fuck is this shit?
It looks like something.
It looks kind of like Spikus. Oh no, I'm thinking a different robot. This looks season 2.
It looks like... I feel like it's like one of the robots from Futurama.
Oh, I've just realised what it reminds me of.
Go on.
I'm going to feel dirty saying this. It looks a bit like the Penetrator.
Oh no! Not the Penetrator.
So this robot is, in theory, is a flipper and spinning disc robot.
Mm-hmm.
Is this one of the robots? It's like, it's just in the arena.
This does nothing. Absolutely nothing.
No, it does not.
Like.
I think I've got a note at one point that's like halfway through the notes that is, Repteron finally moves.
Does it though? Or does it get pushed?
So, anyway. Let's get on to the interesting robots.
Yes. From Surrey, Sabretooth.
So, Sabretooth, which is a team that we're going to see a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
They also have one famous trait, which comes back to the last series of Robot Wars ever, which is, this is the team that never wins a match.
On TV.
And it would probably not it would not hurt if, say, for instance, in your qualifying match, if, for example, your main weapon, which is an enormous saw blade, didn't break, and so you have to just put a third wheel on your robot.
But they big up the third wheel as if, like, it's got to be this massive game changer.
They are saying, oh, it might be able to do 70 miles an hour.
Well, if you could drive in a straight line, I would love to have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And from Oxfordshire, Terahertz.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, we are. Which, so, I really wish we asked the question when we met John Reed. Like, why? Like, because Terahertz does so much damage with this big axe cleaver weapon. Like, why doesn't Beta have one of those? Is it just like...
Beta's weapon actually probably does more damage. In all seriousness.
I mean, yeah, you're probably right there. Yeah, like, it does more internal damage, but just also the way that knowing how much of a stickler BattleBots can be at times.
Also, you're not considering one other factor. Beta was fighting 20 years later when armor was radically different.
Mm.
And also the other thing, if you went for, you're now in a period where people customize their robots, so if they know they're facing an axe bot, they will increase the armor on the top.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Regardless, anyway, Terahertz.
It's just watching Terahertz here, like, it goes to town on all these, every robot it
just
faces.
Just actually describe the robot, because we have seen it fight before. Terahertz was in the last season, I believe. Obviously, Kilohertz was the original robot.
Mm-hmm.
So this version of Terahertz, it's a lot shorter than Kilohertz. It is almost... It looks, when you originally look at this version of the robot, it kind of looks like...
It's like a hexagon shape.
It's a hexagon shape. It's more along the lines of, like... And I'm sure it's not. I'm sure there is a one-sided weapon as such. But it looks more like a kind of Killotron-type idea of it can attack from either side.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, the later versions of Kilohertz... Well, we'll say the later versions of Kilohertz. Obviously, Series 7... Spoiler alert, they don't even make it onto the grid.
Mm. You mean Terahertz? You said Kilohertz.
Terahertz.
Yes. But, like, yeah.
And then the version we see in the reboot is so radically built to face one way.
Yeah, it's got this massive tail, like, for balance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that was the one thing I was looking at with this one. It's like, it is, like, almost a perfect hexagon shape and has, like, a very tiny tail for balance, and then you compare that to, like, the reboot season of Terahertz, and it's like it has this gigantic tail, and it's like, yeah, facing one way, as you say, like, it's just like, it's weird how, like, it can be practically the same robot but, like, be drastically different in the way that it's set up.
And one other thing is, for so long now, because the spinner meta is in effect, so many teams have developed side armor.
Mm-hmm.
This means that if you then have compromised your top armor and an actual proper axe turns up, everyone is in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And you forget just how devastating this version of Terahertz is.
So, just before the fight, Philippa interviews John Reed and the rest of Team Terahertz, and John says, oh no, I know that there's a spinner that's going to be in this match. I hate spinners. I'm a wee bit worried. And then Philippa just goes, oh, I'll give you a bit of advice. Don't be.
Yeah, Yeah, because 8 kills spinner is horrifically bad.
I think I could put my arm up against 8 kills spinner and probably get out unscathed.
I think Sabretooth's tire linked to its spinner motor is more devastating than 8 kills spinner.
Oh, easily. Easily. Like, when Sabretooth rocked up with a tire and it's like, oh, we're going to use this as our spinner weapon, it's like, well, I've seen Pet Sematary 2 when that kid gets his face ripped off by the back tire of a bike. Like, yeah, that probably, like, even at worst, it will flick robots away. It could maybe get a good shot and flip somebody over if the momentum is there.
But it is such a... It's so swift. It lays into A-Kill. Sabretooth's just kind of there at first. And then Terahertz at one point impales Reptiron. And you just see them dragging Reptiron to the flame pit.
Mm-hmm.
And Reptiron goes up.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's the thing, is like... That one shot that you're talking about where you see Reptiron finally move, it looks like it's already dead and like maybe Shunt had just pushed it out in the middle of the arena because it looked like he was freewheeling.
Meanwhile, Sabretooth is being counted out.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point, Terahertz just kind of drives casually by Sabretooth and goes, oh, no, 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 I have a point to prove. And craters the top of them.
Oh, yeah. If I can use one of my old Mortis mantras, it just went chop, 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 chop. And this is essentially, like, to describe the whole match, it's just Terahertz just going around to each robot, just going chop, 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 chop. Okay, now it's your turn. Chop, chop, chop.
One of the major differences, Terahertz, is unlike a lot of the other...
It's impaling. It is, like, causing holes.
Well, that's the thing. It's not... That's actually the point I was making, is it's actually, like, a flat...
Mm-hmm. It's making a nice slice. Like, as you were saying, when Terahertz goes for Reptiron, it gets stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And the fucking holes that are in the front of Reptiron, like, after that, it's like... It looks like Freddy Krueger, like, had a go at it.
Mm-hmm. Because it's leaving slash marks. It's not even leaving...
Yeah, it's not like an axe point where it's, like, a tiny hole. It's, like, it's a gash.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, Sabretooth and Reptiron are out.
Yeah. To be honest... excuse me. Jesus, I almost choked on my own fucking air there. Mm-hmm. I got too excited. To be honest, like, Sabretooth came in and injured and barely left its starting grid. It looked as if, like, one of its other wheels had already broken, and that was kind of going on round in a circle. And Reptiron, I don't think, moved off the starting block at all. And the only time it moved is when Shunt gave it a shunt. So, like, these two robots went in there and... didn't move, other than when Terahertz said, get over here.
Oh, yeah.
So, both of them get counted out. Growler hits the pit button, and then almost drives in the pit.
Mm-hmm.
Silly doggy.
So, hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Grizz and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax spelled TekNoAxe. There is a one good thing, which is the producers realize, wait a minute. We can feed a jobber to Panic Attack, and it means they get to the final, which is a good story.
I mean, I had no fucking choice, to be honest.
Because Chronic versus Panic Attack could have got ugly.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were in the same. They were in the same first battle, so.
So they were. Terahertz. Well, we'll get the Terahertz panic attack.
Yeah. You would. To be honest, in the second round, you would want the two like famous robots to be apart. Well, I say that, but wait until we get to one of the episodes in a few weeks.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yep. But yeah, so we're on Panic Attack versus A-Kill. As I kind of said at the beginning of the episode, even bad Panic Attack, Kim Davis still does as good a job as he can do with doing the infamous Panic Attack where...
The piggyback.
Yep, he waits, spends his time, scoops up A-Kill, hits the pit, drops him in the pit. And even at the absolute worst part, there's one more really good bit in this fight that
A-Kill tries to hit with its axe.
Yeah.
And Panic Attack just nope.
it just puts the forks up and it's like nah.
No.
It's like I could probably take these hits and nothing would happen, but it makes it look better if I actually defend it.
And yeah, it is the classic Panic Attack of. It's that thing of, it's a classic Panic Attack, except this Panic Attack isn't fast enough to make it look good.
Mm-hmm. It's like watching like a sports athlete well past his prime, but like you know, like he's got his stick. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't exactly want to say wrestler, but it's a good appropriate term here. Like
it's late Undertaker.
Yeah, or like, you know, like somebody like, say, Dusty Rhodes. Like, oh, he's like 20 years older, but like he still does like his whole like bionic elbow thing. But like it's kind of sad to see now because he's like older and fatter. But it's like he's still doing it. It's just a lot sadder to watch. So
I have to say, though, Craig Charles isn't exactly helping.
Well...
That was so boring.
Yeah, but then at the very least, you know, Kim Davis just goes, I completely agree. This robot fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, this is... I think it's sad in a way that this is the last we actually physically see Kim Davis on telly.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, they don't win this episode.
Oh. I mean, yes, Panic Attack does come back for season 7, but Kim Davis is not the one driving.
Well, he's a producer. He and George Francis. That's it. After today, we do not see George Francis. Well, sorry, we see George Francis once, and we maybe see Kim Davis. I can't remember if he fights in Extreme 2 with Panic Attack. But it is,
it's like the end of an era. Like that's 3 Robot Wars UK champions that we right now that we don't see in season 7, and I'm pretty sure there's another one,
not champions, but there are iconic robots that we don't see in series 7. Series 7 was always going to be screwed with all the fuckery that Channel 5 pulled.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't help that they basically were running without... They were running with 3 of its 4 really iconic robots not there. And the 4th one was there, but it wasn't...
A robot's only as good as its driver, is pretty much what we're saying.
And without Kim Davis, Panic Attack is an outdated... Design.
Just another robot.
Yeah. And then we get to Terahertz versus Chronic. This is scary.
Oh yeah.
This is what I mean. This version of Terahertz is terrifying. It is so quick. It is so... Well, we know that John Reed does not hesitate.
Mm-hmm.
And is phenomenally skilled. But... It becomes very clear very quickly, Kilohertz is lower to the ground than Chronic.
And Terahertz.
Terahertz. Terahertz is so close to the ground that Chronic cannot get underneath them, and the second that that happens, fight's over.
Yeah.
You've got a robot that is dependent on getting under its opponent, and it cannot get under. And the whole time, every time it gets close, it gets nailed.
There's only one bit of Terahertz that they could possibly get under, which is probably at the back because of like the little tail. But like Terahertz, again, so incredibly well driven that John Reed ain't going to give them that opportunity. And like, it comes in like a house on fire to begin with, but then halfway through the match, it almost just seems as if the axe stops firing. And I'm wondering, is this the move that becomes very infamous a lot later on in John Reed's robot career, or did something happen?
It's hard to tell, but I think there's almost a sort of, obviously, anytime you're firing that axe, you're stressing it. Mm-hmm. If he's going, we've got the match won, it's not going to flip us, so we don't really need to... Or if the logic is, if they get a lucky flip, we need to be able to self, right?
Possibly, yeah. It's done the job already.
It's done. We've done enough. That said, the second that Chronic 2 gets off the flame pit...
Mm-hmm.
Growler takes an interest.
Oh, yeah.
And Growler is all the scariest bits of Tornado, but three times the weight. And it's not afraid to use that weight.
I mean, that's the thing, is like, Growler's main mode of attack is just hoof it across the arena. Like, it's got those claws, the jaws, sorry, but, like, the jaws don't really do anything. They're just, like, to grab and move. But, like, Growler's main weapon is speed.
I mean, it's...
And momentum, I suppose, because, as you say, like, it's, like, three times bigger than Tornado.
It's like what... Okay, look... It is... Mark Henry with Rey Mysterio's speed.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's is a terrifying fault.
It's almost like what Keith Lee was before Keith Lee started having health issues.
So.
Yeah, so like, needless to say, like, Chronic does as good of a job as it could trying to fight off Growler. Because it comes up on the flipper and Chronic's like, ah, get away from me, get away from me. But it can't get out of the corner. So it just gets munched a little, it ends up back on the flame pit, and it can't move from there. So then Terahertz just decides, I'm just going to start attacking Sergeant Bash.
And ripped his ass off.
Yeah, wrote his butt falls off. But yeah, I mean, because it just shows the power of Terahertz, like with the amount of speed that Terahertz has as well. It just rams into Sergeant Bash, and Bash's butt just goes meow.
So
let's just get it.
Clear. The older I've got, the more I appreciate Panic Attack, and I think it's one of the greatest robots of all time. And then you watch this, and it does. It's within like 10 seconds. I'm like, this is getting hard to watch.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I am much more glad it was this Panic Attack than any other. Like,
yeah, no,
we're not fond of 24 Karat Panic Attack. Like, if this was, you know, our beloved
Panic Attack 3.
Yeah, our beloved big yellow boy, like, this would be much more heartbreaking.
Because Terahertz just, it's too quick, it's getting And it's the one robot that doesn't need to worry about the Scuds.
Mm-hmm. In fact, its first collision with Panic Attack, it gets in under the skirt. Like, it...
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That's what... And then it just... It just keep... And it is. It's not even that it hits it like once big time. It hits and it keeps hitting and it keeps... And it is. It's terror... It's killer... Terror hurts. We're going to get this. Terror hurts just going, no, no, I can't give you an inch.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it's Kin Davies, and mm-hmm. even with a deficient bot, even with a massive disadvantage, if I let you breathe, you are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And it just keeps on hitting. The top of Panic Attack is tearing off. You can see Panic Attack is already limping.
And then it gets into the corner.
And yeah, you just see... There's almost this moment of... Because obviously... Shunt has history. And you can almost see Shunt going... Okay. My turn. Only for Matilda to go... Nope. No. And Matilda rips
the
top off.
Oh, yeah. The top just goes absolutely flying off of Panic Attack, which was obviously incredibly loosened by Terror Hearts.
Uh-huh. And then people keep going, oh, we want the drop zone. It's like, no.
Yeah.
No, not that.
And then Shun like drags Panic Attack over to it. And then goes,
No. Ah. First Shunt goes, shall we? No, let's do the floor flipper.
That's how it is. It gets him towards it, and then continues going. And then everyone's like, boo! Bloody boo!
So, and then Shunt goes, okay, fine, we'll do the drop. Shunt's like me. He thinks it's silly. At least it's a washing machine, so it's something interesting, at least. And then there's this... And I actually find this more devastating... They put Panic Attack on the drop zone, and there's just this moment of defiance where Panic Attack goes, no!
But it cuts to Kim Davis right after that. You can see him killing himself laughing, like, ah, ha, 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 ha. And he's like, you can see him, he's like, no, I don't want this. But then, look, he gets put back on it, and then, like, Panic Attack looks all crooked, and it's like, I think it genuinely is stuck now. So it's like, and then bang, there you go. Drop zone. Gets him a washing machine put on it, and it was just like, well.
At least it's a washing machine, which is actually quite devastating.
Yes.
So.
That was rough.
Oh, I mean, it is. This is horrific.
But again, at least it was... 24K, who nobody, including the creator of the
like no one liked this version, yeah.
Oh man, I can't remember if we asked him, but I felt like it should have been a question. It's like, okay, who did you prefer, Scallywag or 24K?
So, the trivia.
Yes, please.
A clip of Shunt pushing Sabretooth into the pit was aired during episode 2 of the Chinese show King of Bots, where the team behind it and Terahertz collaborated to build Tanshi.
I thought Ian Watts was on that team. Maybe he also was.
He's not listed as a team member.
We'll look into that, you know, in the future. I'll not do it now.
The team behind the only newcomers in this heat, Team A-Kill, had previously fought with the middleweight version of A-Kill, meaning there were no true newcomers in this heat.
Yes.
This was the second occurrence of a previous grand champion being knocked out in the heat, so a Series 2 champion, Panic Attack, lost in the heat final. The others were Panic Attack again, this time in the 7th series, Chaos 2 in the 6th Wars, Razor in the 8th Wars, and Apollo in Series 9 and 10.
Hmm.
This heat saw Panic Attack fail to reach the semifinals for the first time, keeping in theme with the eighth seed curse. This is also the only heat where Team Hertz won.
Wow.
See, when you actually say that out loud, it's like, but they've been around since the second series. I mean, the only team that has a, not even a worse record, but a record that long is Behemoth, and well, we'll get to that.
I think I may be thinking of Artie from the reboot.
Yeah, I know the one you mean.
Yeah.
Sabretooth's spinning disc axle broke in the qualifiers, forcing the team to replace the weapon with a motorcycle tyre. Sabretooth bragged a top speed of 70 miles an hour, the highest reported in all of Robot Wars.
Mm.
The second melee was the only battle to feature four robots with different number of active weapons, 0, 1, 2, and 3, respectively.
Oh, that's amusing.
Whilst describing the damage caused to their robots, the Sabretooth team mistakenly referred to Terahertz as its predecessor, Sir Kilohertz. What kind of daft cunt would do that?
Yeah, what stupid prick.
While 8 Kills team captain confused it with Megahertz.
Oh, no.
That's even worse!
That's a different robot.
Sabretooth would avenge its loss to Terahertz in Season 9. Along with Heat C and Heat K, there were no judges' decisions in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Both Heat finalists in this Heat have previously damaged Sergeant Bash and were the only robots from this Heat that won a Heat at any point in Robot Wars history.
Jinx.
Both Heat finalists in this Heat were the last robots to be thrown out in the out of the arena in the original series and the rebooted series, respectively. They're also the first and last competitor robots to appear in the select screen of Robot Wars Advanced Destruction.
Yes.
This is the only Heat in Series 6 where none of the two Heat finalists were interviewed by Philippa Forrester before the final.
Hmm.
This is the last Heat of the original series in which every team would appear in a subsequent episode, though the A-Kill team would do so with different robots. This marked the second time that Corkscrew and Chronic 2 appeared in the same Heat together following the Fifth Wars. And that is the trivia.
Now I'm intrigued to see what Team A-Kill have next time.
Uh-huh. Before that, however, we have got to get on to Robot Wars, the Sixth Wars, Heat J, which we will be doing next week. And which I'm going to say now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next week, I think might have the highest average of all the Heats in Series 6. And I think Series 6 is one of the highest in terms of quality of the Heats.
I'll give one quick spoiler just now. One of the first round battles I've put down as an absolute hidden gem of a match. Find out which one that is next week.